Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase Studios, my good friend Juan Perez Jr. He is the Chicago Public Schools reporter for my great employer and yours, the Chicago Tribune. Thank you so much for getting up with me this morning.
Thank you for having me. This is always fun, and hopefully I'm caffeinated enough to...
You're always caffeinated enough. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And there's always no shortage of things to talk about when it comes to the Chicago Public Schools. Is that a sigh?
Is that
the weight of your work just kind of weighing down on your vocal cords there?
I feel like every time I come into the show, I start my session with some kind of sigh or something like that. It's true. But no, it's crunch time. It's for the Chicago Public School System. It's April 2nd, 8:11 a.m., and in about an hour, CPS CEO Forrest Claypool is going to be on the far south side, on about 114th Street, speaking to a church group Sunday morning, pressing his case and the district's case for the lawsuit that is currently carrying out against the state. What a lot of people have described as a last-ditch effort to get some kind of...
It's a Hail Mary.
I mean, it's a last-second heave here. So he's going to be pushing that case. He's going to be pressing...
Well, let's explain what that lawsuit is.
See, here's I guess, one of the fundamental arguments that's involved. CPS says that, listen, for every dollar that, you know, we get from the state, if you add all that together, it is well short of where we should be. It is only of a fraction of what other students in the state get. I mean, you know, as far as that pool of funding is concerned. The state would argue that, well, wait a minute, that's not true at all, because if you take a look at every pool of money that we give you, CPS, you actually get a lot more than other kids in the state. That is, of course, if you don't count the state's contribution to CPS's massive pension bill, which is always a perennial, at least recently, really difficult thing for the district to actually cut a check to cover. So that's the fundamental argument, I think, that's happening right now in the courts and in Springfield as well, is, you know, how much money should CPS get from the state to cover this, what's currently, I think, a $721 million pension payment that's due at the end of June, which is normally, that's a big expense, obviously, but as we all know, the pressures of the district's budget situation have increased to a point where cutting a check that size is really difficult to do without completely running the ship aground.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Financially speaking.
But I think there were valid questions, though, of whether to incorporate the $215 million from the state that was...
An assumption that the state wouldn't have.
Well, that was a conditional on a larger... public employee pension bill passing.
Sure.
And in the absence of that, Governor Rauner vetoed it. And now basically has been traveling the rest of the state back using the language that, well, this is a bailout of the Chicago Public Schools without the larger pension picture being looked at.
You know, the state has always been pretty insistent saying, listen, CPS, why did you even bother passing a budget that assumed that you were going to get $215 million from us when you knew that it was contingent on this sort of broader pension reform? But yet again, you know, that's the second year in a row that the district has been in a position where it said, okay, well, we're just going to assume the state's going to send us hundreds of millions of dollars to help balance our budget. It was a lot more money last year. You remember it was like somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 million that they were assuming the state was going to send along. That never happened. They found a way to engineer their way out of that hole, and now they've got some more cost-cutting to do if they're going to be able to put it all together. And I'm still not quite sure on how the numbers are going to add up or what the engineering tactic, the financial engineering tactic, so to speak, is going to be this time around.
Well, and we've also seen the rhetoric kind of ratchet up that $215 million was a one-time payment, and now on the city side, it's like, well, there ought to be a permanent
And so this is where it's going to get into this whole idea of a new school funding formula, right? That's the big piece of game that we're trying to all chase down here. But it's
still the same game, you know. No, I mean it really. In many respects, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for decades there's been talk about how to reform the way that Illinois funds its public schools and remove it from the property tax dependency, and that zip codes determine the quality of an education based on property wealth, which was, you know, is a 17th century measure of agrarian wealth.
Yeah.
And you know,
nice. Yeah.
And that hasn't changed. You look at the issue of pensions and changing pensions, and even if the bill that was the precondition to get Chicago that $215 million, even for it to pass, it'd be in court the next day. There would be, you know, maybe at least 6 months, if not a year, before a ruling by the Illinois Supreme Court on whether it was constitutional.
Can't pass constitutional muster, that's for sure.
But then people try to factor in that as, oh, well, we'd save $1 billion if this passed. Well, no, you wouldn't save it if it passed. You'd save it, perhaps, if it became law. And there are valid questions of law. Senate President John Cullerton has said that he believes his model for the pensions is constitutional.
Maybe.
He's a lawyer. I'm not. But it might be.
Right.
But when they passed the previous bill to deal with public employee pensions at the state, that was struck down wholeheartedly by the Illinois Supreme Court.
Wholeheartedly. So that brings us to 8:16 on Sunday.
On a Sunday morning.
April 2nd. You know, but I mean, now, what's the plan, right? I mean, that's the critical question here.
I think that's a great tease. Hold it right
okay,
there.
Okay.
All right. What's the plan? We're speaking with Juan Perez Jr. He's Chicago Tribune's Chicago Public Schools reporter. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. April 19 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by my good friend and colleague at the Chicago Tribune, Juan Perez Jr. We're talking about the Chicago Public Schools, and we left this conversation before the break on what's the plan. Well, what is the plan? what do they say the plan is, or do they have a plan other than abruptly ending the school year?
Yeah, so that's the interesting point to make here. Before the break, we were talking about the Hail Mary, right? The lawsuit that's
which speaking of which, and this was part of my further rant, was we've also been down that road before,
right?
About the adequacy of funding schools in Illinois, and the Illinois Supreme Court, in a famous decision, ruled that the constitutional requirement that the state be the primary source of funding education was a goal and not a mandate.
Well, that's pretty clear language.
So,
you know, and then you know, you have there's also court precedent that would suggest that, at least from the state's perspective, that, you know, hashing these really thorny, difficult, complex, controversial questions out is the responsibility of the legislative branch and not the judiciary, right?
Correct.
And other states have confronted that same question. So, you know,
although other states have acted differently. I mean, Michigan, you know,
that's
a
true.
Decade or so ago went through a massive court-ordered refinancing of the way it does its public schools.
And maybe you get to that point here. And I don't want to say that's not something that is feasible or even possible here in the state of Illinois. Sure, you can get there. But other entities have tried before. You know, obviously the Urban League in its, you know, years-long battle with the state of Illinois, addressing some of the same but not all of the same questions. But this is the same concept, I guess. And now we're in Cook County Chancery Court trying to see how this sort of, how this issue is going to advance through that realm. And not only advance through that realm, but CPS says that they want to have some kind of decision in hand by May 1st.
Right.
And a decision that will, it's a decision that will allow them somehow to determine whether or not they're going to cut the school year off by as many as 3 weeks. At least that's what they've said publicly, right? Like, this is something that came out in these legal filings that, you know, without some kind of favorable preliminary decision from Ulysses Valderrama there in Cook County, the school district faces the very real prospect of ending the year about 3 calendar weeks early.
But that affects their funding.
It does. They will lose some money from the state if they do that. Overall, you know, I think they're looking at saving somewhere in the range of $90 to $96 million. Like, according to their calculations that they, right, you know, that they've concluded, they tell us anyway that that's how much money they could save net of whatever penalty you get from the state. But the point is, you know, there's a lot of anxiety out there right now, and I don't just mean among parents and students. I mean certainly among teachers, among administrators, you know, people who are actually out on the street making this giant machine run in the way that it does, and central office too, of trying to figure out what's actually going to happen here and trying to make plans too. Because I mean, if you have kids in the system and you're looking at the prospect of the school year shutting down 3 weeks early, you know, Jesse Sharkey, the vice president of the Chicago Teachers Union, the other day was out in front of school district headquarters saying, do I need to call my mother-in-law to have her come in to like help take care of my kid? You know, I mean, those are real, yes, questions. Those that you've got to figure out, vacations, and not to mention graduations, end of year testing, you know, those sorts of critical end of year decisions that a school building has to make to actually wind the year down in a proper way. And, you know, if I'm Mayor Rahm Emanuel, you know, I don't know what he's thinking and I don't claim to, but I have to imagine that the idea of cutting 3 weeks off the school year would be an absolute non-starter over my dead body kind of thing, you know, especially after all the campaigning that he did on a longer school day, a longer school year, the expense of political capital there to actually pull the trigger on something like that. that would be a tough decision. Like, that's the understatement of the year. But
so where does CTU fit into this whole picture? I mean, you know, the talk of a one-day strike and things like that.
Well, if anything, a one-day strike, which they are considering taking on May 1st, would save CPS about $11 million in operational expenses. That doesn't sound like a lot of money, but we are in a spot where, you know, these margins are getting kind of razor thin, and $11 million bucks can make a difference when you're trying to stockpile cash and get ready to kind of, you know, pay the bills.
Faced with cutting the check, yes.
Right. So, you know, that's not an insignificant amount of money. But at the same time, I think the CTU, at least its leadership, sees this idea of taking on a one-day strike as something similar to what they did last year, is we need to call attention to the fiscal crisis that's facing the school district. We need to call attention to some of our ideas, which would be, you know, I think some of the ideas are like, you know, corporate head tax and, you know, it's another sweep of some kind of city funding sweep into the school district, or obviously an elected school board is something that they've pushed pretty hard for. And you saw them in Springfield this last week also pushing for legislation that would vastly expand the landscape under which they can bargain with Chicago Public Schools. That's a whole other thing that we, right, can talk about. But CTU is confronting a pretty, I think what Jesse Sharkey and other leaders there have acknowledged, is a very difficult internal conversation as to whether this one-day strike makes any kind of sense whatsoever, and whether, you know, taking another day of instructional time from kids when faced with the prospect of 3 weeks getting cut off makes sense, whether the messaging is consistent, you know. And, you know, that's all going to probably come to a head here this week when union delegates get together again to kind of decide formally whether to take another step forward and actually schedule a, you know, another kind of vote, you know, an official internal vote that will determine whether or not the union actually does stage this walkout. All that being said, you know, there's a lot of questions like, wait a minute, why is the teachers union striking? I thought they just settled a contract. And yeah, they did. And no, they're not striking over that contract. And no, they are not striking under the...
It's a symbol.
It's a symbol, and it's one that's gonna, you know, be the subject of another kind of wonky legal battle, you know, in front of the State Educational Labor Relations Board, and potentially even maybe someday a circuit court or a Supreme Court judge, a panel of judges, to decide whether, you know, the union can even do something like this outside of the bounds of, you know, state law,
of the contract,
and you know, all that stuff. So yeah, CTU is calling for revenue. They're calling for revenue and from spots that I think would be pretty difficult to pull off, you know, like a corporate head tax here in the city. You know, I think that would not fly with well, I mean,
no and that's and here again, this is something that even if it were, you know, possible, it's not going to be quick.
Right.
It doesn't address the real kind of
30th.
Compressed time frame
yeah,
that everything is under right now.
So and so here we are. And is the school district going to come up with – I think there's a lot of folks out there who sort of treat the school system's warnings of danger with a certain degree of cynicism.
Because for some valid reasons.
For some valid reasons, because I never underestimate the city and the school district's ability to pull some kind of rabbit out of a hat at the last second to stave off disaster for at least another fiscal year. And that's entirely – you know, there's – it's entirely possible that some other financial engineering effort can materialize here in time to make it work somehow, you know. But at the same time, you know, you look at the numbers and
it's pretty bleak.
The bank account is empty. It's pretty close.
It's pretty bleak. Juan Perez Jr., my Chicago Tribune colleague, thank you so much for joining me this morning
for
that optimistic update on the Chicago Public Schools.
You know me, man. I'm always really good.
You are a realist, that's for sure. We'll be back with more right after this.